You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now off to Tampa on Monday night, taking on Baker Mayfield, that high-powered Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show, Brian Wacker. Brian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Well, I'm feeling about as good as the Ravens fan base is feeling. You know, first day of, it feels like a first day of fall today, four in a row for the Ravens. A lot to be happy about for this fan base, I would imagine.
I don't dig too deep. You know, there's somebody out there complaining about something, Brian Wacker. But the offensive line, you know, we talked about it with you and Vinny and I and Nolan and all of our listeners going into the season. Lack of pass rush and offensive line play. Six games in, both units were where for you in regards to your concern level right now?
Well, I think the concern level on the offensive line has certainly dissipated, you know, with the caveat, of course, that everyone is staying healthy and remains healthy. You know, Ronnie Stanley has been terrific at left tackle and has been healthy, which is, you know, look, when he's healthy, he generally plays well. So no shock there. Patrick McCary, again, has held up at left guard and looked really, you know, pretty solid. Had a few really nice blocks yesterday. Rosengarten, I heard you guys talking about earlier. Yeah, look, he's going to get bull rushed on occasion, but I think he's been overall fairly solid. And look, Daniel Falele, you've got to give this guy credit. Mm-hmm. It's a guy that was, you know, roasted early in the season and has really kind of bounced back, developed well. He's proved a capable, more than capable run blocker, has proved a, you know, I think a passable pass blocker, if you will. I think the Ravens have also been wise to try to get rid of the ball, either get rid of the ball quickly or use play action where, you know, Lamar has a little more time because the running game is clicking. So I think there's very little concern with the offensive line right now. Pass rush, you know, look, they didn't bring a lot of guys yesterday against Jaden Daniels. They wanted to sort of muddy the picture for him, it looked like, in coverage. You know, I would still be a little mildly concerned. I think Owe has played fine this year. I think Van Noy has obviously played well. He does what he does. He gets after the quarterback. You know what you're getting from him. Travis Jones has been fantastic in the middle. Matabike, you know, probably not up to his standard, which is pretty high. But not to say he's playing poorly, just, you know, this is a guy that's one of the top paid defensive tackles in the league. And, you know, to expect him to kind of match that 13-sack season he had a season ago is probably a big ask. You know, so I would say there's, you know, probably a little bit of concern there. But, again, you can scheme that. You can bring in guys like Kyle Hamilton and so forth and rush them. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the course of, you know, the next couple of months here.
Hamilton played a lot of deep safety in this one. I'm guessing they didn't want to give up the bomb.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jaden Daniels is, you know, even as well as the Ravens played yesterday, Daniels was really very, very good in that game. Mm-hmm. This guy leads the NFL in completion percentage. We saw a lot of really nice throws and tight windows to guys who were covered, and he's able to make some of those completions to guys like Terry McLaurin. I mean, and to your point, yeah, this is a guy who throws a really good deep ball. certainly I think they wanted to keep everything in front of them, if that makes sense. That seemed to be the approach yesterday, and it worked.
You have any concerns with Wiggins? I mean, he's a PI waiting to happen.
You know, you do. I think anytime you've got a rookie corner playing on the outside, particularly when you go against some of the receivers that he has seen and will see throughout this season, yeah, I think you're going to have some mistakes. You're going to have some pass interferences. You're going to have look, to his credit, he's talked about that. He's talked about that's the biggest difference for him, college to pro, is learning to not be so grabby downfield and not be so handsy with receivers. Now, it helps, of course, having that speed. There's some nice plays he made yesterday where you could see that speed come into play. We've seen that happen a few times this year. But, yeah, it's going to be an up-and-down road, I think, almost anytime you have a rookie corner on the outside, particularly one that can get a little grabby and occasionally have his head on a swivel.
I tell you what, when Tucker made that 58-yard field goal last week, you know, the importance of it and everything, he's like a different guy. I mean, like, he's drilling everything now right down the middle. I mean, the 45-yarder, to me, he's like back to his old confident self, it looks like.
Yeah, I talked to some guys about that, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody had told me that, you know, that kick, that 56-yarder, it had a different sound to it. It had that thump to it that you're used to hearing from him. And so, yeah, look, I don't think there was ever really any major concern about Justin Tucker. He talked about, you know, kind of fine-tuning the technique in the process, you know. But again, this guy's one of the best to ever do it, and it's rare that guys just fall off the cliff like that. Especially, you know, it's not like he was missing kicks short. You see that happen with kickers as they, you know, get toward the back end of their career, if you will. You know, where they maybe can't kick it as far, they struggle to get that distance. That has not been the case. He was just pulling the ball, missing them. Seems to have eradicated that issue.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, joining us, Vinny at Hating 105.7 The Fan. Ravens won 4 in a row, off to Tampa, taking on the Buccaneers a week from tonight. Tampa just blew out New Orleans, and we'll talk about that game as the show progresses and the week does. But Derrick Henry, another monster game. How much, if he's at all, Brian, how much is he exceeding your expectations here so far in 2024?
Yeah, I don't know if he's exceeding them, but he certainly had a couple of eye-popping moments. I mean, you go back to that 87-yarder where you've seen that on tape before, and you're impressed by it. But then you see it, it's like, wow, this guy still has that gear when he's outrunning, you know, 20-something-year-old defensive backs and his own wide receivers struggling to keep up with him. So, you know, to me, I'm not really worried about Derrick Henry. I'm not really worried about this offense. I think this offense, you know, and I heard you guys talking about it earlier in the show. I mean, look, this is one of the best offenses in the NFL by any measure, advanced statistics, whatever you want, DVOA, et cetera. This is a terrific offense with a lot of weapons. To me, the biggest concern is still that defense, and some of that is pass rush, and more of it is probably the secondary.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, covers the Ravens and obviously the NFL. Brian, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. I know John Harbaugh meeting earlier today coming up at 1 o'clock, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Look forward to it. Thanks
Brian.
Yep. You're Brian Wacker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Well, Friday night passed. Things were not ideal down at CQ Stadium. We'll get into it more in depth if you missed it. And quite frankly, you're probably beneficial that you didn't see anything. But a lot going on in World Sports. Whip around coming up next. And we got Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens win. They cover the spread. They hit the over. So everything's right with the world. How many keys did they hit?
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Vinny and Hades with
you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
881-057 The Fan here on this Victory Monday. Ravens 30-23 over the Washington Commanders. Fourth consecutive win for the first place Ravens. Washington, their first loss after four straight wins. Ravens off to Tampa, taking on the Buccaneers a week from tonight. Two Monday Night Football games, by the way, next week. But we'll get into all of that in due time. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. But other things happening in the world of sports over the weekend, like Friday night, game you heard on The Fan, Maryland coming off a bye at home, 10.5-point favorites against Northwestern, who was 0-2, I believe it was, in the Big Ten. And you figured all was going to be right with Maryland's word. And new.
And they give it up the middle to Porter, and he's in the end zone for the touchdown. Cam Porter, his fifth of the year, leading rusher for the Wildcats, goes 3 yards, and it's a 13-0 Northwestern lead.
Oh, 13-0. It was still the game. 13-0 soon became 37-10. The final score. Porter only rushed for 23 yards, but Northwestern took advantage of three Maryland turnovers. Maryland, again, some boneheaded moves there, which defeated their purpose, trying to achieve victory as big favorites. Maryland gets blown out. Couldn't run the ball. Billy Edwards, no touchdowns, a pick, fumbles. He threw the ball 51 times. This game was, for all intents and purposes, they were only down 10 at halftime, but you have a feel sometimes for how the momentum of a game is going, and it never felt as though Vinny Maryland was ever in this thing, and then Northwestern just puffy pants them in the fourth quarter.
I felt like Maryland got out-coached in that game. I just thought Northwestern, the coaching, I thought they did a really good job, and their quarterback, you know, he was running, throwing. I was impressed with how Northwestern played that game.
Yeah, Maryland coming off a bye, though. And that has been a problem for them coming out of the bye. They just do not seem to correct mistakes. If anything, it's like, all right, we just took a week off and let's get back to pick up where we left off, which this year is not good. Especially, they're 0-3 in the Big Ten right now.
That's what's totally disappointing, because during the bye week, you get a chance to, you know, evaluate yourself and, all right, how do we get better? You know, is it fundamentally? Is it schematically? How do we improve? And like you said, Bob, I mean, they got worse. I mean, they got a lot worse. You know, I mean, they fourth quarter, basically, they shut it down.
We'll talk more college scores more in depth once we get to the picks coming up around 1:30. But Oregon survives Ohio State.
That was an awesome game.
And a thriller, 32-31. Number one, Texas blew out Oklahoma. Penn State in overtime at USC. That turned out to be a thriller. And early, one of the early games, 12 o'clock, Alabama was up against it at home against South Carolina. South Carolina actually got the onside kick and then threw a pick. Yeah, Tennessee winning overtime, same with LSU. So a pretty epic weekend of college football here, week 7.
Yeah, it was an awesome, awesome Saturday. Just because, I mean, college football this year, I mean, how many good close games? Even like Minnesota-UCLA, that was, end of the game winner. Colorado and K-State, another one. I mean, just the games and the excitement of the games, it's crazy.
So college football marches on, and we'll talk more about Maryland-USC as the week progresses as well. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Victory Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nola McGraw on the other side of the glass. Capitals started their 2024-25 season Friday night. Paul Cotter, two goals as New Jersey takes them 5-3 in the opener. Caps back on the ice tomorrow against Las Vegas.
Yeah, the Caps, well, the Devils had played three games already, so they kind of got some of the kinks worked out. And the Caps got the lead right away with Carlson, and then Jersey kind of put it to him a little bit, and then they got the empty netter to make it 5-3 at the end. And Ovi got an assist, no goal.
No goal for Ovi. Baseball last night. We'll talk more about this later on in the show, about an hour from now, as a matter of fact, when we get to the MLB playoff report. But the Dodgers, 9-0 over the Mets. Jack Flaherty, perfect game rolling through the first four. Two hits, no runs, six Ks. Muncy got him off to a big start there. Tani, a couple of ribbies, and then Mookie Betts cleaned the bases. That was all she wrote. 33 straight scoreless innings for the Dodgers. Their pitchers, that ties the 66 Orioles, ironically enough, against L.A., in the 66 World Series for the most consecutive scoreless innings in the postseason. They haven't given up a run since Tatis took them deep in what was it, Game 3 of the playoffs. So there they go. So the Dodgers are marching on. Game 2 of that series coming up today at 4:08, and then the Yankees and Guardians 7:38. Boxing over the weekend, Saudi Arabia, Arthur Beterbiev, majority decision, 12 rounds over Dmitry Bivol. He claims the undisputed light heavyweight championship. They all had straps. Both of them did. Anyway, a lot of controversy, I guess, based on the decision, because Beterbiev's output was much greater in regards to punch volume, and he was the aggressor as Bivol seemed to be in retreat most of the time, but he landed a higher percentage of punches using his jab as the heat seeker and then dropping that right-hand counter. When they announced the decision, the old Bobster wasn't losing his mind either way. I've seen much worse, but you can make a case that Bivol may have gotten job. I don't think it was as egregious as we've seen in years gone by. Bottom line is what this means, there's going to be a rematch. Mm-hmm. Majority decision between those two, the top light heavyweights in the world this day in sports history. Orioles 1983. It is October the 14th, by the way. Game 3 of the World Series, Philadelphia. Disco Dan Ford goes yard. Benny Ayala, he has an RBI double, scores on an error by Ivan De Jesus as the Orioles edge the Phillies 3-2. Jim Palmer gets the win in relief of Mike Flanagan. Orioles beat Steve Carlton that day. Palmer's win made him the only pitcher in baseball history to win a World Series game in 3 different decades. So Jim Palmer gets the win on this night. 41 years ago, Orioles go up 2-1. In the World Series, which they would eventually win in 5. And then 2012, Nolan, you're going to have to help me out with this one, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens beat the Cowboys 31-29. Ray Rice rushed for 2 touchdowns. Joe Flacco threw a touchdown pass to Torrey Smith. Jacoby Jones had a 108-yard kickoff return for a TD there. Dallas got to window dressing, scores late, Romo to Dez Bryant. But 31-29, Ravens beat the Cowboys on their way to the Super Bowl.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is the game that Ray Lewis tore his tricep and did not return until the wild card round of the playoffs.
Until the always fun deer antler spray became part of the equation. Now, he was a shell of what Ray Lewis was. By the way, if you remember, that Ravens defense was middle of the pack.
No doubt.
They were not the great dominant Ravens defenses that we had come to know and love. But the offense, when they were kept cooking or clicking on all cylinders, they could get it done. And on this day, they certainly were 31-29. Sorry, Rashawn, Ravens over the Cowboys. Ravens win yesterday over the Commanders, 30-23. We'll come back. Got Vinny's keys. You want to join us, you can. 410-583-1057. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. And then news from the Nest coming up at noon. Going to hear from all the Lamar, Henry, and Mark Andrews, John Harbaugh, talking about the Ravens. They've won 4 in a row. It's a victory Monday here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Victory Monday. Ravens win 30-23 over the Washington Commanders yesterday, M&T Bank Stadium. 4th consecutive victory for the Baltimore Ravens. Vinny does his keys every Friday before games. Well, next week it'll be Monday because they play Monday night. But you get the point, everybody. Friday keys. How many did the Ravens hit? Let's find out.
All right, number one is don't let Daniels beat you. Keep him in the pocket and don't let him roll right. He rushed 6 for 22 times. I thought they did a hell of a job containing him. You know, they Van Ooy did a real nice job keeping contained, and Oway did too. He scrambled out to the left one time, didn't throw it, and gained a yard or whatever. And he didn't have any big plays. He hit the one pass back in the middle when he scrambled to the right. But otherwise, I thought they did a nice job there. Tackle well. They did a pretty decent job tackling. I think, you know, maybe a missed tackle here or there. But most cases, thought they did a pretty good job. The only one that they missed was a critical one. Remember, Wiggins missed that tackle. I think it was like right before the half. And then they get the first down and he gets out of bounds. And then they end up being in better field goal range. Secondary have their best game. I don't know that it was their best game. I mean, they still gave up, a lot of plays. They did a better job on third down. And Hamilton was deeper a lot more in this game. And, you know, Wiggins was the one that struggled the most. And Brandon Stevens, I mean, he was like glue, except they caught the ball on him.
Yeah, I mean, they had a better game.
Yes, they had a better, yes.
But the quarterback had 110 quarterback rating, so best game?
Yeah. Rush for over 5.0. That was 4.8. It was.
That's a hard buzzer, Nolan.
Yeah.
Not going to round it out to five.
It's not five. 4.8 is not five. Yeah. I don't know what you want from me.
Second half,
like they high school grade.
Yeah, because in the first half, yeah, they rushed for 3.4. In the second half, they rushed for 5.7. So, Ravens over 90 yak yards.
I'll give them this one.
Yeah, I mean, like second play of the game, Zay Flowers had about a 40-yard yak or so. So they had some. Andrews had some yak yards. So they did a nice job running with the football after they caught it. And then last one, Lamar have over 250 passing yards. 323. He almost had that 250 in the first half. So, yeah, he had a hell of a game. And teams, you know, you want to make Lamar throw the ball? Have at it.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, as he was sacked twice. But the sack totals have been down for him. It's not like Deshaun Watson, who's already been sacked over 30 times here for Cleveland, but that's their problem. Lamar, 20 of 26, 323, averaged 12.4 per completion with a TD and a pick, quarterback rating, a robust 114.7. That's three straight games his quarterback rating has been over 110. And he's got a couple of 130s involved in that one, too.
And the thing about it, Bob, is there's a lot of guys running wide open. You know, like Andrews was wide open. Bateman was wide open. So that's a good. And then he was making some really nice tight window throws, too. So Lamar's been playing exceptionally well. He's playing up to that MVP level right now.
And speaking of Bateman, before we get out to the phones, 410-583-1057, get in here if you want to talk about yesterday's win or anything else on your mind. Bateman, 4 for 71, caught all four of his targets. Every week, he's become a part of this offense and a positive part of it.
And then, Bob, another big play he made was on the third down. We got the PI. I mean, that was huge.
Yeah, he had a couple, right? It was like Torrey Smith-like.
Yeah.
Getting a couple of those.
But, I mean, that was a big one. And I didn't realize it until they said it on the broadcast. Bateman and that St. Jude, they were teammates at Minnesota together.
Something tells me that's how practice was looking a lot of times, too, when they were there rowing.
That's what Romo said.
Oh, he did? Yeah, Tony Romo. He can be a sharp dude. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, thanks for holding. What's happening?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Mitch.
Thanks for taking my call. That was an A-perfect game. This proves that Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback. Him and Caleb are for real. Love the bounce. We had we did well with the offense and everything. And I wish they had known that the USC Maryland game would be 4 o'clock. They didn't announce that time until like the other day. I would have bought tickets 2 months ago. I don't know if it's get tickets if you walk in. I'll probably just be better off just watching it on TV. Lincoln Riley, he's got so many close ones, but he doesn't know how to manage clocks. I think it's been his fault that USC has lost these three close games in the Big Ten. I expect a big game from USC this Saturday. Too bad I wish I could be. Do you know his tickets? And I'll leave with that. I'm sorry.
Well, Mitch, I'm going to go ahead and guarantee you, Joe Namath style, that if you want a ticket for Sunday's game or Saturday's game, you're going to be able to get one. Okay. There he goes. Seems overwhelmed with that possibility. And keep in mind, you have the secondary market. So if you want a ticket to anything you want a ticket to, you can get it. It all depends on how much you're willing to spend. But I'm guessing Maryland fans are going to be probably trying to sell those things to the highest bidder. And USC coming in for the first time, there'll probably be a lot of bandwagoners. Is that a bandwagon school, though, for football? Used to be. Like, yeah. 20 years ago, there had been, like, oh, Matt Leinart all day, man. I don't know if it's that way now, but
doesn't seem still. Like it. Well, yeah, they'll have their alumni. I don't know how many alums they'll have, you know, this far over. Oh, probably in D.C. and stuff.
But, there. You know, yeah. Like, in every city, there's somebody lurking who grew up in Baltimore who grew up loving USC, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
There might be a couple of those, but not a lot.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Like, if Michigan was here.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ohio State, Penn State, definitely. You know, that
like
sort
Notre
of,
Dame yeah, would be, yeah.
Sure. I don't know if USC resonates like that. Here on the East Coast. But anyway, they're 7-point favorites. Maryland just trying to do something positive, trying to salvage their season after losing two disappointing games at home, Michigan State, and then Friday against Northwestern as big favorites at both of those games. We'll come back, go to the funhouse with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. There, we got news from the Nats coming up top of the hour. It's got that Monday money, hopefully buy or sell. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, talking about 6 weeks in. And tonight's game, it is the Jets with a new head coach taking on the Buffalo Bills, first place in the AFC East on the line. Tampa Bay game, they blow out New Orleans handily yesterday. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, he'll be on the show. John Harbaugh meets with the media today at 1, so hopefully we'll have some Harbs for you before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. MLB playoff report coming up at 12:45. Dodgers get out big over the Mets, but it's only one game. Hey, the Mets could win 1-0 today. The series will be tied. It's not about style points. It's about stacking those W's. Yankees, Guardians coming up from the Bronx. That 7:38 first pitch. Maryland gets blown out. So, as we said, plenty to get into. But let's bring old Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how you feeling on this Victory Monday?
Feeling good. I mean, the Ravens offense is humming. They seem to be finding their stride, similar to last year, although when they did it last year, it took them a while to get going. Then they caught fire down the stretch, were playing their best ball. Now it's happening a little bit earlier in the season. Doesn't mean they can't keep it up through the entire season. I think if you look at their schedule, the hardest part maybe is behind them. So some would say nowhere to go but up. And as far as Lamar on an individual level, he might be playing the best ball of his career this year right now. Yeah. And to me, the big key or a difference from years past, a lack of turnovers. I mean, his two MVP seasons, he was pretty protectful of the football. 6 interceptions in 19, 7 last year. He's on pace for a career low in interceptions this year. Threw a second yesterday, shouldn't have even been a pick. Bounces right off of Andrew's hand. So the maturity that he's showing, taking what the defense is giving him, that play action yesterday was absolutely lethal. Pitch and catch, guys wide open all over the place. Loving the way the offense looks.
How about the fumbled snap? I mean, you know, Linderbaum, he didn't even...
That was a worm burner.
Yeah.
Like he lifted an anvil or something.
And they were lucky they got it back because they ended up getting 3 points off of that drive. But, I mean, you talk about momentum shifts. That could have been big. But, yeah, those were the only really mistakes that the offense made. Otherwise, they'd have scored... If they didn't throw the interception, they're scoring almost on every drive other than the one where they went 3 and out. They would have scored.
And, Nolan, you mentioned the lack of turnovers, which is good. Duh. It's only been sacked 7 times through 6 games.
They're one of the best in the league at that.
Which I would not have guessed prior to the season, given everything we were saying about the O-line. That's maybe the biggest stunning stat.
Well, I think, I agree with that. And I think the run game has helped and, you know, and play-action passes helped. Because if you look on, like when they were running those play-action passes, he had like all day to throw.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Well, a big change from week one, because week one, if we were going to base our predictions for the rest of the year off of that game against the Chiefs, we would have thought Lamar was going to get sacked a Deshaun Watson amount because he was under duress every time he dropped back. But then credit to Monken getting the play action going, finding ways, the run game, get a little pressure off Lamar.
Speaking of that Kansas City game, now that we're, 5 weeks past it, when's the last time we've seen one of them false start or illegal formation penalties getting called here?
No, I don't think three
in their first drive.
Anywhere in the league, by the way, not just the Ravens.
It just kind of went away. Thankfully, at Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Let's go to that funhouse, Nolan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll get started with a question on the defense. This texter says, do you think the secondary has been so weak this year because of A, the new coordinator, B, not as much of a pass rush, or C, just not as good of a group as we thought they were?
Right now, you probably have to say A, B, and C. You probably have to include them all right now because the secondary hasn't played well. The coordinator is learning. I mean, if he was doing a great job, Dean Pease wouldn't be here. So, yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of all, Nolan.
This texter says that Daniel's kid is the real deal, showing traits of a quarterback who's been in the league for years, made some ridiculous throws all afternoon that have me believing they could not only be a playoff team, but an actual playoff threat in the NFC.
I thought the kid was spectacular. I mean, if I'm a Washington fan and I lost, I'm upset we lost, you know, but they got hope. They got hope. They got a future, you know, and if I'm that new owner, oh, thank you that we picked second and, you know, we got who we got.
And as Ed and Arbuta said an hour or so ago, hey, get him one more receiver. They might be off to the races here.
Yep.
Another weapon, completing 75% of his passes. Oh, excuse me, no. 75.3%.
Yes, got to be specific.
Yeah, got to be specific.
Well, if the goal was 76, that's a very important decimal point. How about Howard in Baltimore says, got to give credit to the O-line, a job well done. Lamar had more than enough time to make those plays yesterday. Meanwhile, the defense still gets a failing grade for me. Two timeouts. Forced to use two timeouts because the defense had confusion yet again. When you don't know where to line up, that explains why receivers are left open. Safety's a liability this year. Williams looks totally lost. How much more time is left on his contract?
I think he'll be gone after this year because he'll be making way too much money for his production right now. So, yeah, I don't... He has probably been the biggest disappointment of anybody thus far.
And we'll close with this one on the Terps. Texter says, is Mike Locksley on the hot seat? Watching Maryland sports my entire life, seems like he has not done anything to show this program is heading in the right direction. They get junk wins to get to their low-tier bowls, never beat anyone they shouldn't, oftentimes lose to teams that they should beat, and on top of that, I don't see any type of recruiting to leave me encouraged.
And the failures after a bye week historically are pretty concerning there when you should be more prepared and correcting mistakes. You come out and just pick up where you left off with all the negatives there. Is he on the hot seat now? No. They finished 3-9. Next year, you're going into a pretty big season. And I guess it didn't help Mike's cause when he said this is the best team he's had at Maryland. And they're not even going to make a mayonnaise bowl. Or a ketchup bowl, or a mustard bowl, or any condiment bowl.
They do a lot of things, Bob, that kind of reflects like coaching. I mean, penalties, dumb penalties, can't win after a bye. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of add up.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Talk more about that Ravens win. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Count some dough, hopefully. 12:15-ish by yourself. Talk about 6 weeks of NFL fun with Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, and preview tonight's game as well. Buffalo against the Jets. MLB playoff report around 12:45. NFL launch at 1. AFC North, we're going around there. The Cleveland Browns, yikes. And then we'll look at our picks as me and Vinny did all right. I don't know about Nolan. We'll find out then.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app